Well, Liam, thanks for joining us on the show, man. Svalbard are coming down to Australia for the very first time ever.
Very
And
excited.
there are so many people I know that are excited to see you. But I guess how are you feeling about coming down to Australia? It's a long way.
Pretty gobsmacked, to be honest. Can't wait for it to happen. I think been pinching ourselves a little bit that we have this opportunity, and obviously, I guess when it's actually happening, it'll be yeah, it's going to be incredible. I really can't wait.
Have you been here yourself at all?
No, none of us have been apart from our drummer. He came, I think, in the year 2000, 2001, something like
Wow. Okay.
that.
What did he
He
say?
was flying as well, huh?
What did he have to say? He goes, "Man, I've seen some shit. Oh, everything backwards. Fucking the toilet goes that way." And
I think any flight we do, he's so nervous now. So I don't understand how he did a 24-hour flight, and then he did a skydive when he was there as well. So unless something's happened and it's like he's not telling us about it, it's PTSD related.
that is, yeah, I wonder what happened. I don't know,
Yeah,
man. This country's,
maybe it's a drop bear.
I think it could be the drop bears.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are you having? You having a coldie, mate?
I'm having a West Country cider.
Oh,
Sorry,
man.
West Country?
What time is it there?
9:30. Oh, no, 9 o'clock in
At
the
night.
evening.
Oh man,
Yeah.
beer o'clock, and here I am just having a cup of Priest to get me going. I wish it was one of them; that'd get me real going real quick. But of course, you're hitting the road with our very own Run, who I saw recently for the first time, and they were great, man. Have you checked those guys out or been in touch with Lachlan and the boys about what to expect from the tour and what you're going to get up to?
I think Lachlan was the one who set it up really in the first place. He's the one who contacted us and set the wheels in motion. So I think they go really well together. I've heard a couple of songs, and especially the new direction they're going in. It sounds like we're going to be a good fit. Can't wait to see them live.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a killer show, man. And your latest album, Weight of the Mask, came out in October, and since then, it's just blown up everywhere, man. Everyone's talking about the build up to the album. Took a good chunk of a year, I believe, and you dropped singles every couple of months in the lead up. Really helped build it up. It seemed to really pay off in the end. Like that real slow release, and then everyone, it just got everywhere. Did you notice that?
I mean, it's always, I guess, a little bit of a different interpretation when you're in the thick of it,
Mm.
when you're, So I think we recorded two of the tracks in November last year. Oh, yeah, sorry, year before. And then we recorded the rest of the album the following year. Obviously, came out then. So we did when Eternal Spirits was released. That was one of the first songs we actually recorded in the first period we were in the studio. And then, yeah, I think it just kind of that was like a little taster. And then it was a couple of months, and then we started dropping the other singles. It's yeah, just gone down. Every single seems to have gone down better and better.
Yeah. Did you find that things changed? You said you recorded a couple of tracks and then went back and recorded the rest. That right? Yeah, did you find that, between then that some of the songs took a different direction or a different shape to when you went back in?
Not really. I don't think I mean, writing the music is always something that we've never consciously tried to think about.
Mm.
Just kind of let it flow and find its own path. A bit like a river. So we start off at the top in the stream, and then it just gains momentum and gains momentum, and then by that time, we've got the vision, and we're heading down towards the bay.
Man, it's so good. And
No,
how's the
thank you.
reaction and feeling to those songs live when you're out there on the road? It must be incredible knowing, it's had such a massive impact on people. Like you must get a lot of people coming up to you saying how, the lyrics are connected with them, especially, the discussions around mental health and things like that. How are you finding that interaction at all?
I mean, a lot of people are mentioning, Serena's lyrics and how resonant they are a lot of people. And I think that's a great thing because it's starting a lot of conversations, getting people talking about something which is inherently going to affect us all in one way or another at some point in our lives. Bands have always been doing it. There's always been political bands. I feel like the current state of the world and the way people are trying to be a little bit more open, I think, yeah, it kind of gives people the confidence maybe to speak out about their own problems, and I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm seeing a lot of bands are really becoming a bit more open about, not just in their lyrics, but they are talking about it a lot more, I'm finding, which I think is
Yeah.
super important. Like,
I guess that's one of the yeah, it's one of the good things about social media, I guess, is, in the 80s and 90s, you didn't really have access to, people in bands. You didn't know what they were thinking. You just heard their songs and saw photos of them or videos. And now you can know exactly what they're thinking and almost like have conversations with them, or you can kind of interact with them a lot more, and it feels a lot more personal. And I think it gives a lot of people, hope, especially with those bands who are opening up about their own problems and making everything seem a little bit more human and relatable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, this band has just taken off to a point where you're going places that you've never been, like here,
Yeah.
and you're playing incredible shows all around the world, but you've worked hard for a really, really long time to get to this point. Have you had a chance to sort of take a step back and see your journey, or has there been a point where you've gone, that's the moment when everything changed?
Kind of hard to pinpoint, I guess. I think it's been such a slow change, such a slow, gradual increase in momentum and popularity, I guess. I think the first time we went to Japan, because I've been touring around Europe in bands since 2004. So like to go to Japan was like the first time it was like, I sat on the plane and I was like, wow, this is actually happening. This is incredible. So, so then next time we go, we're going to Japan and then Australia. So in my sleep deprived, half awake, jet lag state, I'm probably going to be like, whoa, what the fuck? This is amazing. It's those moments where it's actually happening where you're like, wow, all that hard work, all the sacrifices and the hours we've put into this band unpaid. It's like, it's not that it's about being paid for it. It's obviously it's a labor of love, but you put so much of yourself into it. You have to sacrifice so much of your own time outside of work, and then music doesn't really pay that well, so you have to work as well. So we're doing full-time jobs, and then you're doing another part-time job or whatever, an evening essentially doing the admin and writing songs. And it's great. Like I've been doing it for such a long time that I can't imagine never not doing it.
Do you find now that when you sort of stop, you don't know what to do with yourself? I'm going through that at the moment. Like my band's, I'm starting to get really busy with my own music as well as this and the family and the job. So it's like when I stop, I go, I don't know, I feel like I'm meant to be doing something. You know what I mean? Like what's there's no stopping. Do you find that now that it's a constant grind now that you got to keep it rolling?
I think it's a combination of that, and I think the older you get, the less time you feel like you have anyway. But as soon as, because obviously I have to make lists, getting older, you forget things, you have to start making lists of everything you have to do. When that list is empty, I'm like, I must be forgetting something because there's no way this could be empty. But yeah, obviously it's good to have downtime, of course it is, but I feel a bit strange when that's happening. I feel like I need to be doing something all the time. But I can just grab a guitar and play. That's still relaxing, so
That's good, because that's great. I
yeah.
mean, do you still work on the side? Have you still got to balance that
Yeah,
out?
we all work. I'm a postie. Serena works in the video games industry. Mark works for a wind farm company, and Matt works in well for like a sound company doing computer things I don't understand.
The science things, but it's
Yeah, I mean,
it's
not science. It's just it's like recording tools, and my version of Logic is using an old four-track recorder and sticking a tape in there. So I'm a bit of a dinosaur.
Me too, actually. That's, hey, I got as far as this get this going today. But I mean,
Oh
it's,
yeah.
you know, it, people think, I guess there's this misconception, is that once you're signed to a label, if you got an album on a major label, that, you know, you're flying around in private jets like Taylor Swift, and you know, it's not like that. Bands have to work, you know, three times as
Yeah.
harder to make it all go. That's why you got to buy those merch, people. You got to buy the merch.
Exactly. Buy
Yeah.
the merch, early ticket sales, buy the
Yes.
album in the first week, all that stuff helps. Yeah, I mean, if we want to be flying around in private jets, we've definitely chosen the wrong genre of music to be in, so.
Right. That's it. People go, "Oh man, you must be." It's like, nah, I'm still grinding, mate. Still rolling with it. But hey, man. But exciting for the year ahead for you is you heading out with Enslaved next month.
Yep, it's next week. Next week.
Oh shit, that came up quick. Hey, dude.
Oh yeah, it's next month. Really soon, isn't it? Like 2 days.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's leap year tomorrow. Then it's March.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, because I'm a future traveler. It's the 29th today,
Oh,
brother.
you're on the 29th now, aren't you? Yeah, I'm still stuck on the
Yeah.
28th. Like
So,
some sort of time loser.
man, I'll give you the lotto numbers a bit later. But you know, it's crazy how that, because you gotta step back in time to come to Australia.
No, I'll go forward
Forward
in
in time.
time.
Yes,
Yeah.
it's still early. There you go. You go forward in time, then you go back in time, you go back. It's weird, isn't it?
It's going to be like an alien abduction because we'll turn up and be like, what happened to all that time?
Yeah, that's it, eh? Oh, I was hanging out with that Nev guy, drinking all those beers, and yeah, he gave me the lotto numbers, and it was a good time. But that Enslaved tour is gonna be so cool, man. I love that
Yeah.
band.
And Wayfarer as well. Both great bands.
Oh,
Really excited. I mean, to be on with a band, to be playing with, sorry, to be asked to play with a band who have been going for so long as such an institution,
yeah.
it's a real honor. So, I'm going to be really, really, really looking forward to it.
Is there a band that you still, you know, is on your bucket list that you sort of want to play with?
I think the band I would have liked to have played with most. Oh, I think Envy was one of them. We did a tour with them in the end of 2019, and that was, they're so lovely, and they don't make mistakes. They made one mistake that I noticed in the entire tour. So it's like that level of musicianship, and the kind of humbleness of them for being such a legendary band, and for maintaining, for being that quality for that amount of time. Same with Enslaved, the quality of music for that length of time, but even just to be a band for that length of time and not want to kill each other, not a lot of people can do
Oh,
it.
dude, there's always, although I don't know about you guys, but you learn to sort of, you know, work around each other, and you know,
Yeah.
you've been in bands for years. There's always that one guy that you just like, one day, man, we're gonna, but you know, I'm lucky now. All dudes in my band are great people, and I guess same with you, man. You just, you know.
I think I'm probably the one that they're all like, oh, not really. They all love me.
People like, yeah, that's what I say. They're like, Nev, 10 hours in this van, and I swear. I warned them.
That's why I always drive, so they can just sleep and I can just listen to tunes and keep myself company.
See, my ADHD has me climbing up the walls, so I just the whole time. But you know, of course, I mean, the band is really hard to pin down musically. You're a bit of everything from, you know, you got the hardcore, black metal, the shoegaze, everything's in there. At the heart of it, where do you think it stems from? Like, what is there a particular genre that really is the heart of Svalbard?
I guess we started off as when I originally thought about doing it, because I was in like a death metal or hardcore band before. And when I turned 30, I was like, oh, my, I want to do something like quite different. And I was really into Norzum, one of my favorite bands ever. And then bands like Mew and Sigur Rós are like some of my other favorite bands from the opposite end of the spectrum. So I was like, I want to do something that kind of marries those two. And then met Serena at a gig, and she was playing like kind of solo post-rock stuff. And I was like, oh, this makes sense. And Mark, I knew from the, because I was working in a rehearsal room at the time. So I knew him from him playing with other bands. So I kind of got us all together and had a few bits written already. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And then Serena was really into sort of black metal, post-rock stuff. Me and Mark more into like kind of hardcore and death metal, and also like Mark loves technical stuff like Count Decapitation and Meshuggah and stuff like that. As I'm kind of like a bit more scatty and like a bit of everything, so it's just kind of a marriage of all three of our influences, I guess. Just an unconscious marriage of everything we like.
It's a hard thing to do to find that right formula because I mean you guys sound like you guys, so it's you're
Yeah,
cracking.
I guess that. I mean, I can't say we forced anything. It just, fell into place, I guess. We're just lucky.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, man. And where do you think it's going to go musically next? Started writing.
Oh, we haven't started writing yet. I mean, I've got a few riffs and stuff, but we haven't formally sat down and started the process. I think we're just going to enjoy this tour and then do some festivals and maybe start writing around the summer around the festivals. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it would be kind of, if you look back at all the four albums so far, and then the kind of trajectory they've gone in, I guess it will still go. I don't think there's going to be any curveballs. I think it would be, heavier. But what's the phrase? Our heavier bits are heavier, and our nicer bits are nicer.
Yeah. Hey, I think it's going to be interesting whatever you guys do next. Have you got a project outside the band though? To sort of like, how do you got like a weird sort of side project?
Yeah, I play violin in a friend's band called Morrow, which is like a crust punk band with members of Fall of a Frefer and Shells and bands like that. So that's just, it's like a kind of, almost, we played live, but it's more of a studio project really. That's good fun. That puts me outside of my comfort zone. That's what got me playing violin again, and then made me play violin on one of the singles on our new album.
There you go. Did that start? Was that first for you before guitar?
Yeah, I played violin first. Yeah, that was the instrument I was. I had to learn an instrument at school, and I was like, I'll just do the violin. But then I'd just be sat there learning like riffs, turn it sideways and learning riffs on it, and then transitioned it onto guitar.
My daughter's doing violin. She's doing that at school. So I'm hoping one day
Nice.
she can turn into the, do the medals.
The Irish fiddle tunes are the most fun to play.
I couldn't imagine it. It's just crazy. I can't do it. I can't. I get on it and it's like, and she's like, no, stop, stop, stop it. So, but I respect anyone that can do it, that's for sure. But hey man, it looks like you got a really big year ahead. What is there anything else that we should keep an eye out for after this Australian tour? What else you got coming up?
We will have some festivals in the summer, and then we have a long European tour at the tail end of next year, which hasn't been announced yet. And then hopefully the year after that, we'll come back again.
Oh man,
I hope.
you're gonna love it, dude. You're gonna go, this place is so backwards and fucking weird, and everything can kill you. But hey, I'm having a good time. So,
I'll cheers to that.
how we do it? Yeah. Oh man, I'd swap you in a heartbeat, but my boss would get angry because I'd be all like, anyway. But mate, it's been awesome hanging out with you. We're gonna have all the links down here and on the website, brother. We got it happening. We made it work, and.
Can't believe it. Technology nearly beat us, but we persevered.
Yeah.
Skynet isn't going to
Yeah, fuck you, robots.
get us
but hey man, have a good day. So and I'll see you very have a good night. I'll see you very soon.
yet. Yeah, pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much.